Tim Versalotti is director of the Western New England University poll, professor of political science, and a guy who we rely on for a lot of reasons around here. Let's go to Massachusetts for a moment, where you are, and talk about Elizabeth Warren's reelection hopes. True or false? I'm going to say something. You tell me whether what I'm saying is a lie. There's no way in the world that Elizabeth Warren has any problems, is there?
Can I say almost certainly? she's in pretty strong position right now. She's got $11 million in her campaign treasury. That's up from $9 million in June. So she will be a formidable candidate in 2018. And she's running in a state that Hillary Clinton carried by 27 points last year. However, this is also a state that elected Scott Brown to the Senate in 2010, and we do have a Republican governor in office who's also up for re-election next year. So you can't say anything is a guaranteed certainty. While in terms of her potential opponents, the Republican field is starting to fill up, and it's an interesting mix of sort of Chamber of Commerce Republicans, sort of Main Street classic Northeastern Republicans, and some Trump firebrands. So the most recent entrant was Beth Lindstrom. She's a longtime Republican political operative in Massachusetts, had served in the administration of Governor Mitt Romney, had actually chaired Scott Brown's successful Senate campaign in 2010. She's very well known by the activist class of the Republican Party, will have no trouble putting together a solid campaign team and a decent fundraising strategy. And she has taken pains to distinguish herself from Donald Trump. She called him out on his comments after the clash between protesters and white supremacists in Charlottesville. She is trying to thread a needle here in a state, again, that Trump lost by 27 points. The other prominent candidate, Jeff Diehl, is a state representative who endorsed Trump and actively embraces Trump and is trying to tap into that anti-establishment sentiment that Trump tapped into last year. And then there are a few others, a businessman by the name of John Kingston, who's in the race, and I suspect we'll see a few more entrants as well. But they'll be at a huge fundraising disadvantage. They'll have to put together a solid campaign organization. And they'll probably get a decent amount of help from the National Party, because taking down Elizabeth Warren would be an enormous accomplishment.
Or at least a dirtier.
Well, and there's that as well. She's presumed to be among those considering a run for the presidency in 2020. And so raising her negatives in a high-profile campaign also is to the advantage of the Republicans.
Right. When people run for these offices, Tim Versalotti, you know a great deal about this, because quite frequently Harry the bartender runs just to give himself a little name recognition, right? In other words, a lot of these people don't expect to win, but they think just by putting themselves forward, they get a leg up for the next time.
That's true. We've seen that, and we've seen candidates mount a statewide campaign and not even make it through the primary or the party nominating convention, but they then are positioned to run maybe for a seat in the state house or state senate, or to put up a more credible campaign, say, for a U.S. House seat. So there are all sorts of motivations behind running in a race that seems, at least at this point, to be pretty lopsided in favor of Elizabeth Warren.
And, of course, Governor Charlie Baker's reelection, three Democrats already in the race. This is going to be an anti-Trump year in Massachusetts. Could he go down as a result, or will people in Massachusetts, a very smart state, cross over and say, okay, I'm going to vote for Democrats except for governor?
That's an interesting question, because we do see an enormous amount of energy among Democratic Party activists. And so the turnout machine will probably be in pretty high gear for the Democrats next year. What we see so far, there are three candidates running on the Democratic side. Jay Gonzalez, who was Secretary of Administration and Finance under Deval Patrick when Patrick was governor. Seti Warren, who is the mayor of Newton, and an Iraq War veteran. And Bob Massey, who's been around for a while, he was the lieutenant governor nominee in 1994. We've seen Warren and Gonzalez try to link Baker to Trump. We've seen Baker try to distance himself from Trump on a number of issues, and in Trump's comments post-Charlottesville, Baker put out a joint statement with the Speaker of the State House, Bob DeLeo, and the President of the Senate, Stan Rosenberg, condemning white nationalism. But these candidates are also calling into question Baker's primary argument for being governor, which is that he is a good manager. Baker served in a couple of gubernatorial cabinets, came out of the healthcare industry as a successful executive. And so they're calling into question things like the state's bond rating, which took a dip because our budget reserves had dropped. We're seeing a lot of attention paid to a Baker administration appointee by the name of Luis Ramirez, who's been appointed to be general manager of the MBTA, the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority, which has had a lot of problems in terms of service disruptions and infrastructure. Baker's literally got to make the trains run on time, particularly this coming winter, in order to push back against those questions that the Democrats are raising about his managerial abilities. That is the core of his appeal to voters in Massachusetts. And so I think the two-pronged attack is trying to link Baker to Trump and trying to call into question Baker's managerial ability. And it'll be a very interesting race to watch.
Right. And we have to get, it's not going to be easy, but we have to get Charlie off that train.
Well, and Baker's got $6 million in the bank, and his three opponents between them don't have $100,000 in total. So they've got some work to do.
Okay. So let me ask you whether President Trump's storm response, we only have 2 minutes, gets, you're a pollster, gets high enough marks to bring his ratings up.
Well, it's not off to a good start. His visit to Texas, to Corpus Christi, sounded a false note in the very beginning when he commented about the large crowd that was there to see him as if this were a campaign rally as opposed to a visit to talk about relief and recovery from a devastating natural disaster. He will be held to account for that. He does seem to have good people at FEMA. The director of FEMA, Brock Long, has become this sort of media celebrity. He's very knowledgeable, comes across as a good communicator. But it will all hinge on how long it takes to get people into semi-permanent housing, even if it's just FEMA trailers, how long it takes to get the gas refineries back up and running. People are noticing the spike in prices at the gas pumps already, and to the extent that could be attributed to slow response to this natural disaster, that could take cost Trump some political capital as well. So the Trump administration is quite aware of this. They saw how the Bush administration saw its approval ratings drop after Katrina in 2005. And so I think there will be an awful lot of attention paid to the recovery to try and achieve a different outcome this time.
Tim Versalotti is director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and without question, one of the most essential parts of this program. We thank you so much, Tim.
Oh, you're very welcome.